So you're with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 20. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week it's all about Wedge Antilles. I like Wedge. I'm Mikey B, joined by my co-host, Drinky McDrinkenstein, Danya. Hey Danya, how you doing?
I'm okay. As Mikey mentioned, I may be slightly drunk today.
You know, it should be an interesting episode. Thank you. And we also are joined by guest host Dano. Welcome back, Dano.
Hey, thanks for having me back on.
Great. So if you guys want to get involved in our conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at R Radio Podcast. Leave us a comment on our Facebook or send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net. As always, you can leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. So welcome back, you guys. How are we all doing today?
I'm good. Yeah.
Good. How you doing, Danya?
So, I think I should probably explain why I'm a little... I'm a few drinks in.
Yeah,
so.
Drinky. How you doing, Drinky? Drinka.
Wales were playing in the European Championships in football, and that's soccer football, not your guys' football.
What's the difference between football and football?
Our football is soccer, so it's...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so they made it all the way to the semi-finals. It's the first time they've been in a tournament for... first time they've qualified for a tournament in 58 years. So, pretty big deal for my home side. And we made it all the way to the semi-finals. Last week, we beat the number two team in the world, Belgium, which was amazing. But unfortunately, we lost today's match against Portugal, which is really sad. Oh. So we're out, but they still played really well. I'm very proud of them.
It was a fun game, right?
It was. It was really good. I was like fluctuating between being like really nervous and then really excited and thinking I was going to have a heart attack. So,
well, glad there was no heart attack involved.
Yeah, it was mostly just like, I'm feeling a little nervous. Another beer. That's fine.
Very cool. We will be having merch for sale on our website, so keep checking resistanceradio.net for your availability to see if you can buy t-shirts and buttons. They should be up soon. I'm just having trouble with the shopping cart. I want to make sure everything's secure so no one gets credit card attacked or anything like that. So it will be up soon, I promise. And Donnie's going to take selfies of the t-shirt, right?
Yes, I will. We'll definitely do that.
So we'll see how it actually looks. Danya, tell us about Cantina that you're going to. Is it next week or the week after?
It's next week, so it'll be next Thursday. So Cantina, for anyone who is over my side of the pond, is basically like a pre-Star Wars celebration party. It's taking place at the O2, the Brooklyn Bowl, at the O2 Arena in London. It's basically just a huge party. There's going to be loads of Star Wars bands there. There's going to be Darth Elvis and the Imperials, who are kind of like a rock and roll / comedy band, Star Wars comedy band. And then there's Blues Harvest will also be performing, who are, as their name suggests, a kind of bluesy Star Wars band. There is a secret headliner band called Luther Ingo Star Cruiser, but they are not that band. They've given loads and loads of hints as to who it is, and I do know the actual band, but I won't give it away because, hey, secrets are fun sometimes. But
sometimes
it sort of kicks off at a...
Just sometimes.
It depends. Just sometimes. It all kicks off at about 6:30. You can get your tickets now. All ticket proceeds go to the Alzheimer's Society, so it's all for charity. And it looks like it's just going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be loads of fans there. People from the UK 501st are going to be there. A couple of people from behind the scenes of the Star Wars films and some other like smaller actors from the Star Wars films are going to be there as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So check it out. I will put all of the links in the show notes. I'll put it out on social media, everything. So if you are looking for something to do, if you're not going to Celebration, you can still buy tickets for this. It's not a Celebration, a Star Wars Celebration only thing. You can go anyway. So check it out. I'm going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Well, that's pretty cool. So it sounds like you'll have fun there. We want pictures.
That sounds really awesome.
So, let's move on to the news. So, earlier this week, Mark Hamill, he takes to Twitter fairly often. And I love it for him. I love that he does that. But he kind of set people freaking out a little bit that he gave some spoilers away from Episode 8. And we're hoping that it's not real spoilers, but he said, basically, he said he's going to be out of work soon. And really, people were freaking out thinking that, oh my gosh, are they killing him off, you know, after Episode 8 or what? And he said he's out of work because Episode is wrapping soon. Okay, don't, you know, look too far into it. But at the same time, you got to remember, every mentor in the Star Wars saga, Qui-Gon Jinn, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Yoda, have all died before, you know, the last film, except Yoda, you know, made it too. But kind of passed on and let their knowledge move forward to the next generation. So what do you guys think about this? Do you think he's trying to cover his tracks for letting a spoiler leak, or is he really going to survive?
He's going to survive. It'll be fine. I didn't even consider that it was him saying that Luke was going to be dying until everyone else started freaking out. I was just like, oh, the rap date's coming up soon then. Like, I was kind of like, oh, I didn't realize everyone was going to jump to that conclusion, but I don't think that they're going to do the thing where they'll, like, have him die to, like, pass everything over to the new generation. I mean, we've already lost Han, so, you know, we've already seen someone from the old generation die to make way for the newer ones. So I don't think that they're gonna rely too heavily on that again, because it'll be a bit too much, like, repeating what's already happened in The Force Awakens. So I think he's going to be fine.
Dana, you agree? You think he's going to survive?
I agree completely. I think he's going to be fine. We can't have Star Wars without Luke Skywalker.
I agree with you completely. It's like, it's Luke Skywalker. Come on. Like, it's Luke.
Yeah, so he's got to stick around. He'll be fine.
You know, the more I think about, like, you know, his tweet was specific. Let me reread the tweet again, just what he said. He said, so Mark Hamill said, I meant out of work because Episode 8 is wrapping soon, okay? # don't overthink everything. # parsing Hamill. # wait for 8. You know, he's telling people to calm down. But the more I think about it, like, it makes sense in the franchise to have that mentor kind of pass on, you know, die for some reason. I don't want Luke to die. Like, no one thinks that at all. Like, I love Luke. Luke, like I said, Luke was my imaginary friend growing up when I was 3 years old. Like, I love Luke Skywalker. And I'm so excited we got to see him at the end of Episode 7. I'm so excited to see him in Episode 8. But you just never know, like, what's going to happen. So I'm going to hope that he survives.
Even if he does die in Episode 8, he wouldn't be out of work, because he'd have to come back as, like, a Force ghost in Episode 9.
Exactly, he couldn't end Episode
9 without something. So he's still got, we'll still see more of him no matter what.
But I'd like for them to, like, fly in the face of what we would expect because of the previous films. Like, I don't want it to keep retreading the same ground just because we've seen all of the other mentors die. Like, I want them to go in a different direction now that they've kind of reset the clock with The Force Awakens. So they kind of brought the franchise back to something that we kind of recognized versus some of the prequels going in an odd direction. So I like that they've brought it back to the familiar, to something that feels like the original trilogy. But I want to see them move away and do something a little bit different with it now. Play with the structure a little bit. Do something unexpected. Killing Luke off to make way for the new generation of Jedi is gonna be expected. Like, that's, if we were gonna look at a blueprint for, like, Star Wars, that would be, like, the very obvious thing to do. And I don't want them to do that.
So what's really funny is you're like, you know, they're ready to do something unexpected and part of, like, the blueprint of what a Star Wars thing is. I'm like, okay, so Rey's not gonna lose a hand. It's gonna be Kylo Ren instead. What?
Someone's losing a hand, though.
Somebody, well, think about it. Like, you know, the second episode, you know, we talked about this once before. Episode 2, Anakin loses a hand. Episode 5, Luke Skywalker loses a hand. Episode 8, Rey should lose a hand, but if they're doing something unexpected, it's going to be Kylo Ren this time. You know, like, I don't know. It's just like kind of going, falling down to the Star Wars tropes, you know? Anyway, so yeah, so speaking of it, that episode 8 is almost wrapping. Episode 8 is wrapping on the July 22nd, which is really nice. Hopefully episode 8 will be done and they'll be doing all the post-production, and I would love to see an early teaser, maybe with in December, with the premiere of another film called Rogue One.
Yes.
That'd be super cool to see a little episode 8 teaser in Rogue One, like kind of mass market them together.
Man, that would be insane. That would be so crazy.
That'd be perfect.
Well, cause
but you know what, though? They didn't really do that with Rogue One.
They didn't.
We're still
just
now getting little trickles.
That's true. We just got a little bit with Rogue One. But remember, when we saw Force Awakens, the trailer was a year away in November. It was actually on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving in the U.S. So if they just simply held off Episode 8 trailer to just a little bit longer, like not to... Because remember Rogue One, they didn't want to kind of mess up all the hype of Episode 7, which I get. But now that it's kind of out there already, like how cool would it be for them to be like, the trailer for Rogue One is the Episode 8 trailer? Like, that would be just Star Wars awesome overload. It'd be so cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But would you run the risk, then, of if you show the Episode 8 trailer in front of Rogue One, that you may divert attention to that versus Rogue One itself?
Okay.
So getting
do a Marvel and put it at the end of the film, then.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Yeah, instead of having Mace Windu coming back to talk about something, you have the Episode 8 trailer at the end. There you go. So that is wrapping soon. Donna, you put some news in here about Daisy's hair.
Yeah, so I don't know if anyone follows Daisy Ridley on Instagram, but every Friday she typically puts up like a fitness video of her like working out and staying in shape for Star Wars. And she released one today instead, but the odd thing about it, other than it being on a Wednesday rather than a Friday, is the fact that she had like a pillowcase wrapped around her hair. So apparently she may be getting a new hairstyle in Episode 8 because she's keeping it a secret by wearing a pillowcase over her head while she works out so that people can't see what her hair looks like. So that's another level of keeping the secrets.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Like, she does this little winky face, like, to protect my Ray hairstyle from Instagram's gaze, little winky face, top employee, hashtag, secrecy queen. You know, like, okay. You know, there's definitely something going on there. But I don't know. Do you think her hairstyle would change that drastically?
I don't know. The three bun thing is kind of iconic already. It's very much the same way that like the cinnamon buns for Leia kind of got really iconic. That three bun look at the back is very much her. But think about how often Leia's hairstyle actually changed in the movies. She pretty much had a new hairstyle every 5 minutes. So,
no, I agree. And so did Padme, too. You know, she had the big headdress. She had different things. So I wouldn't be surprised if she had a different hairstyle, but she'll definitely have the three buns at the beginning of the film.
Yeah.
Like, we'll know she'll have that. So
She'll have to, because it's following on from the final scene from The Force Awakens, so...
Yeah, so that's cool. All right, so we talked about having a Episode 8 trailer in December with Rogue One, but guess what? We're having a Rogue One trailer next week.
Woohoo!
I am so excited for this. Oh my god.
I am beyond excited. I'm really excited. Like, honestly, I feel like I'm more excited for Rogue One right now than I am for Episode 8. And I think that might just because it's coming up. But that first trailer just gave me chills. You know, hearing the Death Star sound, everything, and just, like, this gritty film, and, like, the pictures that were released, like, oh my gosh, like, you can hear me geeking out right now. Like, I'm just so excited. So, next week, We have, what do you got? Celebration 4 taking place, or Celebration Europe taking place, not 4, that was in Anaheim. Celebration Europe taking place, and at the same time, we have a TV guide listing for a 3-minute trailer for the film that will air on ABC during the broadcast of Secrets of the Force Awakens Cinematic Journey. So, this is coming up on Friday, July 15th, and we'll see a 3-minute trailer. Danya, I'm assuming you'll see the same 3-minute trailer at the Rogue One panel, right? Which starts at 4 o'clock?
It's very likely, yes. So that's a 4 o'clock panel. So, yeah, it's very likely that it'll line up just about time-wise. So everyone should be getting it at the same time, or Celebration will get it just slightly before. So I actually really like this way of doing it, though. Like, for example, if they put it out at something like Celebration, releasing it quite soon online after that, it kind of helps with, like, stopping people from, like, recording it and putting up, like, really terrible quality and snapping really terrible pictures just to get, true. Like, a brief glimpse at it. It's nice to be able to share it with other people straight away and for all of the fans to get hyped about it. Because, yeah, okay, in Celebration, the atmosphere is going to be completely different being in a room full of Star Wars fans watching it all together than it is when you're isolated watching it on, like, your computer or on your TV. So
yeah, the energy for that is insane.
Yes.
I was there for the Episode 7 trailer release. It was just absolutely nuts. It was the coolest feeling ever to be surrounded by thousands of other Star Wars fans and have that happen.
Yeah, so that's the major difference there's going to be in it. And you're never going to be able to take that experience away from anyone. So I don't necessarily think that, you know, it being released that soon after or even simultaneously is gonna hurt in any way, because it just means that more Star Wars fans can get really hyped about it and talk about it. So,
oh yeah, and it's, you know, it's that fan community thing. So yeah. Now, what's interesting to think about, we had our teaser trailer come out, you know, a couple weeks ago, and if you remember the teaser trailer for Force Awakens we talked about, it was that initial one where you saw all the new characters, no original characters, and then it ended with just the Millennium Falcon, right? You know, flying through the air, which we now know was not any of the original characters flying it, but Rey flying it. Mm-hmm. So the second trailer for Force Awakens ended up bringing back the characters we loved, which was Chewie and Han Solo doing the line, "Chewie, we're home," like when walking into the Millennium Falcon. So what do you guys expect? Is there any hopes or anything you guys expect to happen in this Rogue One trailer?
I think now that they've established the new characters and, well, you know, some familiar faces with Mon Mothma and so on, now that they've sort of established that in the teaser trailer, we will probably get a glimpse of Darth Vader in this one, I think.
And that's actually what I was hoping someone would say. I think we'll see a glimpse of
that's
Vader.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, Vader for sure. And it's going to be huge. They're going to reveal it in such a good way. I just know it.
You know what I really want?
Yeah.
I just want, like, you not even to see Vader's face, but just the back, kind of like, you know, Kylo Ren in the Force Awakens trailer and the lightsaber turn on. You hear his breathing and you hear his lightsaber turn on. Like, that would be like, because you just know it'd be like, oh my God, it's Vader again. Like, it'd just be like, you hear the breathing.
Yeah.
You hear, and he says like something, like, you know, have James Earl Jones, his voice saying something, and then the saber just switch on, and then it cuts to black. Like, or maybe the saber doesn't, maybe you don't even see the saber. It just cuts to black and you hear the saber turn on, and then it cuts out. Like, it would just be so good to give us, like, just the ultimate tease of Vader in it, because I'm so excited for this already, and it's not even here yet. What do I do? Anyway.
Don't get too, like, overhyped, though, because if he doesn't show up in it, then you'll be disappointed.
Danya, you know me. I don't think I can get disappointed when it comes to Star Wars. Like,
that's really true.
Really anything. It's kind of hard to, you know, for me to get disappointed. I love Star Wars. But that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for a glimpse of Vader, even if we don't see him, but just like maybe the breathing or something else. Because we did hear the really cool Death Star sound in the first one. So to add in, like, even just another audio cue that we all know that's iconic, like his breathing, would be something that would just, you know, get fans up going crazy like myself already. I'm excited for it. We'll see it next week. OMG. Crazy new trailer. So of course, we'll retweet it and let you guys all know when it's dropped. If you guys aren't following along, I'm sure it'll be on hypeable.com. So make sure you check that out. The next bit of news is something that came to my inbox. It is a BB-8 tea set. And it is so amazing. Cute. Yeah, you can get this from ThinkGeek. So ThinkGeek, you know, for those of you who don't know, ThinkGeek's a website that does, that sells just a bunch of different Star Wars stuff. And they are actually the ones who, like, on April 1st, on April Fool's Day in America, they went ahead and even created a Wampa sleeping bag that you can, like, curl up into and get in, just like, you know, when Han Solo cut open the Wampa with Luke's lightsaber to get in on Hoth. Not Wampa. Yeah, Wampa. Tauntaun. Yeah, they have a Tauntaun sleeping. Well, they have a Wampa ice scraper, so it's the cut off arm of the Wampa you can use to scrape your car from ice. But they actually made the Tauntaun sleeping bag as a joke on April 1st, and everyone liked it, so they got permission from Lucasfilm to actually make this, and they now have a BB-8 tea set. So this tea set is just absolutely adorable. Like, it's a round tea set that looks like BB-8. The top half is kind of like a dome, like R2-D2. That's the top part of his head. And the bottom is the bottom half of it. And basically, the tea set, you take the top half up, which makes two cups of tea. And the bottom one is a teacup. So you can drink from a BB-8 teacup. Like, this is awesome.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
It is perfect. And it's also, they've made one previously to this, which was R2-D2, which I started affectionately calling around Christmas time R2-T2. So, but I've had the R2-D2 one on, like, my wish list since before Christmas time. And now the BB-8 one is going on there because I'm also addicted to tea. I have so many types of, like, loose leaf tea. I drink it, like, all the time. And I'm living up to my stereotype here, being a British person obsessed with tea. But now I can have geeky tea.
Yeah. So it's definitely something to take a look at and think about. My wife is a big tea drinker, so I'm like, maybe I should get it for her. But she'll just probably be like, I don't want any spoilers. She doesn't like spoilers, so.
I'm
like,
it's just a tea spoiler.
Set. You know, I don't know. Leslie's really picky at this. But there's also, you know, like, just to give you an idea, other really cool things there. There's also a Wampa rug. You know, if you want to, it's like a bearskin rug, but a Wampa rug. I'm just looking through some of the other cool things they have here. But yeah, it's just ThinkGeek, check them out. But definitely check out this tea set, because it's awesome. Oh, I also have the Jedi Snuggie, by the way.
Oh, do you?
It's on sale right now, too. Awesome. So I can say this exclusive sleeved blanket Jedi robe is really comfortable. I mean, like, it's super comfy. Like, I don't wear it right now during the summer, but during the winter I wear it, and all my cats just want to pile on me because it's, one, super soft, and, like, I'm warm, so I love it. But, yeah, so I have way too much stuff from ThinkGeek, and they have some really cool stuff, including this tea set. So our last bit of news before we move on to a listener question, and then our Wedge Antilles topic, is Simon Kinberg, who just did an interview with MoviePhone, and talked about the interconnection between Star Wars media. He talked about comics, books, TV shows, and obviously the films. With Saw Gerrera making it from the Clone Wars TV series to the movie, he has said there's a good chance we'll see more, like from Star Wars Rebel. And just to give you guys an idea, he is the executive producer of Star Wars Rebels. So anyone who's going to know what's going to happen with some of the characters from Star Wars Rebels and the ghost, it's probably him. So that's pretty exciting for me, just because we know we've had characters like Princess Leia and Lando all show up in Star Wars Rebels. So they're obviously going from the films to the series. But now we may see some of these characters show up in the movies. What do you guys think?
Yes, please.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it. I hope this kind of opens the door to seeing more of them, like maybe Ezra. Or, you know, Snoke. See what happens with. Hopefully, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, it would be really cool just to see kind of how these characters evolve, especially with, like, what happened in end of season 2. So if you haven't seen Star Wars Rebels, you have to watch it. Season 2 is so good. It ends with the return of Darth Maul, and then you'll kind of see what happens from there. But it's definitely encouraging to see that they're doing this whole thing of is interconnection. You know, he does talk about how DC and even Marvel kind of have done this thing, but it's one of those things where Marvel obviously has done the interconnection between their movies, not so much between their TV shows as much. And DC is separating those two things out. You know, the movies and their TV shows are separate. But it'd be really cool to have just one complete cohesive story between everything, between the comics, the books, the movies, everything just kind of switching between each other. And that's what the Lucasfilm Story Group is for. Like, there's actually a group dedicated to making sure all this happens. That's how we saw... Well, that's how we get Saw Gerrera to be mentioned in the books in Bloodlines, to be a character in a 4-episode arc on Clone Wars, and to be Forrest Whitaker in Rogue One. So, like, I'm super excited to see this happen with these characters from Rogue One, or from Rebels. Too many things.
Yeah, it's good that the whole, when they wiped the canon clean and made it all Legends, it's good to see that now it's all starting to shape up, and we're getting, like, we're seeing why they did that. All these other little pieces like Rebels, the comic books, are finally building that real, true canon universe where we actually have something to go off of now.
Yeah. As much as I love, like, some of my favorite books, though, are definitely in Legends now. And they were good. Yeah. But, you know, and it's worth reading, like, if you just want a fun story. Because I totally understand, like, the Legends. Like, taking Luke Skywalker as a legendary character, some of the stuff he did in the book series, I totally get with it. Some of the other characters that are completely unique from it, it kind of makes me sad that they're no longer officially around. But, you know, they have been bringing people back. Like, a good example is Darth Bane was actually... There's a 3-book series all about Darth Bane. And he's a character who's the one who actually created the rule of two for Sith, right? You know, there's always a master and an apprentice. Well, for that, there was a bunch of Sith and there was a bunch of Jedi. And that's kind of how it was. So now, in the Legends book, you know, these are 3-book series with Bane. And that's how, you know, that's where the character was. When they wiped it, like, he didn't exist anymore. Well, guess what? Bane showed up in Clone Wars, you know, at the end of season 6. So now we know Darth Bane is real. Is all the information he has inside, you know, that legend, or is it true? And there, you know, there's room for them to kind of play with it still, but that character is back. You know, Darth Plagueis is from the films, and the book sheds a bunch of light on it, but again, it's still legend. So we don't know how much of it's true, how much is not, but you can probably take some of it as it will be true eventually. So I'm excited for the, you know, the new canon stuff all interconnected and everything. And this leads us right into our listener question. Diana, you want to read this for us?
Yeah, so Rachel asked us on Twitter, way too many Star Wars books to choose from. Where do I start?
So, Diana, where do you think Rachel should start? I have an idea. I was thinking about this on the drive home from work today.
Yeah? I mean, honestly, I would say depending on where you want to jump in, I think Before the Awakening is a good place to start, just to get a feel for, like, Star Wars books with, like, the new canon. And then I would probably say something like Lost Stars, and then maybe Bloodlines after that.
You know what? I would say the same thing, except I'd probably put Bloodlines before Lost Stars.
Really?
Well, let me tell you the reasoning why. Okay, so let me say the reason why. So if you want canon books, and I definitely think those 3 books that Donnie mentioned are probably the 3 I would recommend just as the books to start with. You know, do Before the Awakenings, because that gives you kind of a, you know, if you've watched Force Awakens and you liked it and you love it just like we do, it gives you some backstory on Poe, Finn, and Rey. So it gives you a good idea of kind of how their characters are set up for Episode 7. So I like that book, and I think it's a good one to start because you already know those characters, so it's a good way to kind of see their backstory. But afterwards, because you're kind of going on, you've just finished, you know, thinking of all the Force Awakens stuff and those characters, if you go into Bloodlines, again, by Claudia Gray, it's still part of that same kind of canon, that same kind of character type. You're dealing with Princess Leia, General Leia, and you see her in Force Awakens. So it takes place even before that, so you're going back further in time to really kind of see how she gets there, and you start to see the inklings of the First Order. So I really like that one. Lost Stars kind of sits on its own. It doesn't really fit Like, you don't follow those characters at all. You introduce yourself to a completely different set of characters, and it's a phenomenal book. It's a great book. It's a book you'll get read and you can't put down. But as it comes to, like, getting into the universe, it's a book that I think can come after Bloodlines, just because I love Bloodlines so much. And I would almost put Bloodlines first, just because I liked it that much. But I definitely think Before the Awakening, just because it has those characters. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that does actually make sense. I was thinking Lost Stars first because it kind of gets you in the mood for, like, Claudia, the sort of style and tone that Claudia Gray sets in the Star Wars universe, because she's very, she fits into the universe very, very well in respect to the story she's telling, but she has a very unique style of writing that's really interesting, that I really, really enjoy. So I think Lost Stars is a really good way to get, if you haven't read any of Claudia Gray's other stuff, it's a really good way to get introduced to her without, you know, without it being too much, because it's a standalone story, so.
Yeah, but I, you know, again, my thought process is, you already know some of these characters, you want to dive more into them. So I would definitely look at, you know, Before the Awakening, I would say get it. It's short, it's easy to read. It's phenomenal. Then I would probably go to Bloodlines myself, just because you get to know more about Princess Leia at the beginning of the First Order, to see how it all ended up the way it did in, you know, Force Awakens. Dano, have you looked at any of these books at all?
The only one I've really gotten into was Bloodline, and I did the audiobook, which was really, really good. And I did it actually because of you guys. It was great. It was like the best 12 hours I've spent with the Star Wars universe. It was really, really good.
Yeah, no, like, Bloodlines is a phenomenal book. Like, I would definitely do it. And like I said, Lost Stars, I think I like it. I wish Lost Stars was its own series. Like, I wish there was like 5 more books in the series, because you really do fall in love with the characters that are created for it. And they you end up seeing them in like different characters. Like, speaking of our spotlight topic, Wedge Antilles, he shows up in Lost Stars as just like a passing character, you know, to talking to one of the main characters. So it's a really cool book, because you're like, hey, he was there on Hoth when the Empire attacked. You're like, you start to see like these characters grow up, and they're in the Star Wars universe. So it's like, I feel like if they were going to make like a movie from one of the official canon books, this would be a good movie, because it's not going to really affect anything else in the series, because it's just like a piece of time of Star Wars. So it's a good book to read through. Plus, Claudia Gray is a great author. If you are looking for beyond that, Legends, there's a couple suggestions I personally recommend to a couple people. Always. The X-Wing series books are absolutely phenomenal. There's a bunch of them, and those have to deal with Wedge Antilles, which we're talking about today. But the X-Wing series books follow 2 different squadrons. The first group is Rogue Squadron, which follow Wedge Antilles, the leader up for that. And then they turn into another series of books called Wraith Squadron, which is more of an espionage type kind of group that does both fighter pilots and everything, and that also involves Wedge. He puts them together after he retires from Rogue Squadron. So the X-Wing series books are absolutely phenomenal. I think there's a total of like 7 or 8 of them. I don't remember off the top of my head. Yeah, I haven't read them in a while, but they are absolutely great. It's definitely worth taking a look. But again, they are part of the Legend series now, so what you learn about Wedge in there is not necessarily true anymore. So it's just, you know, it's definitely a good set of books to read, though, if you have a chance. And then the other series of books are great is the... Thrawn Trilogy is good, but the one I really like is the New Jedi Order series.
Mm.
So the New Jedi Order series takes place like 25 years after Return of the Jedi. And it's the first book where a major main character dies. And it's not Han Solo. Again, this is Legend, so this is not true. But a major character dies in the very first book. And it goes on to kind of give you characters evolve in different ways. Like Han Solo just grows from the person that died. There is literally, I think, 17 books, and it's basically this big epic battle of seeing the Jedi, Luke's New Jedi Order, and the New Republic battle this enemy from outside who doesn't register in the Force. So it's a cool concept and everything. I've heard people compare it to Star Trek and like the Borg invasion. But there is 17 books in it. It starts with Star Wars New Jedi Order, Vector Prime, and it's definitely great. And you start to learn all the other characters. Like, that aren't there anymore, like Han and Leia's three kids, you know, Jason, Jaina, and Anakin, Luke's kid, Luke's wife, you know, so you start to learn these other things, but that is definitely legend, not going to be tied to canon at all. But if you want something fun, audiobooks, I have them on, all on audiobook. I used to listen to them while I drove in LA traffic all the time. So New Jedi Order, X-Wing series, part of Legends, or I would say Before the Awakening, Bloodlines, and Lost Stars would be my favorite.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. I mean, I would say the X-Wing books, for me, are great for the other pilots in in the books. But, yeah.
You know, here's the reason, like, once you get past the first X-Wing books, the first couple of them, and you get into the Rey Squadron stuff, to give you an idea, it's a group of misfits that come together. There is a Gamorrean X-Wing pilot. They call what? Him Piggy. How cool is that? Awesome. They call him Piggy. It's awesome. it's such a good, like, it's a fun, they're all fun books, but there are some really cool stuff in those X-Wing books. And it introduces my favorite character too from the extended universe of Corran Horn, just because he is a pilot from Corellia. He's essentially like a Han Solo, maybe a little bit more straight arrow. You know, doesn't, you know, deviate. He was part of, like, the, you know, Corellia Corsac and police. But then he becomes a Jedi Knight, which is like, yes, everyone who loves Jedi. And then, you know, he's an X-Wing pilot, Jedi. You know, she's just awesome. So definitely take a look at those books if you get a chance. And Rachel, if you do pick any of them up, let us know what you think. And we can talk about them and geek out about it, because I love geeking out about Star Wars stuff all the time, as you can tell.
I have a question. Did you guys ever read Shadows of the Empire?
Oh, yeah. I read the book. I played the video game. I have this. Do you know they have the soundtrack for it that came out with the video game?
For the video game? Wow.
Yeah, I have the soundtrack.
I got into the video game, but never read it. Mm. So I'm wondering, is that worth a read? Should I add it to my Audible list of audiobooks?
It's interesting, because obviously the video game dealt with Dash Rendar, you know, the... not Han Solo character. Which is good. And the book is the same thing, but it deals with kind of like the underworld of Coruscant, which is actually a pretty cool concept. Again, this is also considered Legends now, but it does take place in the original trilogy time frame. You know, it takes place between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. So there are some cool things about, like, Luke going to Tatooine, finding something that was actually... And part of the outtakes of Return of the Jedi was, or the deleted scenes, was him actually building a lightsaber. That scene is in Shadows of the Empire, him going to Ben's place, finding schematics for it inside a journal and stuff like that. But it's all about the underworld of the Coruscant. Like, it's the Black Sun versus the Empire versus the Rebellion, who are kind of doing their thing. So it's a good book. I would say the ones we mentioned as kind of in canon right now are probably a little bit better reads. So if you are interested, like, if you're gonna put something on your Audible, put Lost Stars on there, Before the Awakening on there, since you've already listened to Bloodlines. But Lost Stars is a great book. I cannot say enough good things about it.
Awesome. It's in there. I've added it.
There we go.
Credit has been spent.
There we go.
So, Rachel, hopefully that was enough. If you need more, just tweet at us. We'll answer you back, and we'll probably respond also on Twitter too, not just on the podcast. Anything else, Danya?
No. Pretty good to move on.
All right. So, on to our spotlight topic. It is the one, the only, Wedge Antilles, who was played by two different actors. I've been waiting to use that. I'm like, yes, the one and only, played by two different actors, Wedge Antilles. Yeah, so before we jump into, like, the character of Wedge, let's talk about this in the film. So we have Colin Higgins, who's been dubbed Fake Wedge by a lot of people. And as a young kid, I didn't quite catch this, but I knew there was something off. And then we have Dennis Lawson, who is the actual Wedge that we all know. So just to give you guys an idea, In the New Hope, in the battle, the Death Star briefing, when they're talking about shooting proton torpedoes at the Death Star, you know, at the exhaust port, you have Colin Higgins as Wedge. He's the one who tells Luke that's impossible, and then Luke's response, it's not much. I used to do this bullseye womp rounds in my T-16 back home. It's not much bigger than 2 meters. So Colin is this one, you know, Wedge Antilles in this scene. Well, they fired him after that one day of shooting. So, Colin, sorry, you're probably not listening. But yeah, so Colin was fired after one day of shooting. And then Dennis Lawson came in to film the scenes as Wedge in the X-Wing at, you know, the Battle of Yavin. So Wedge is the one. So Dennis is the one who was at the Battle of the Battle of Yavin. He's the one who pulled out and let Biggs die. Sorry, Danya. And he's also the same Wedge that was in Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. So Dennis Lawson was Wedge. So I would say if you're going to put a face to Wedge Antilles, that's who he is. In fact, a lot of the artwork that you see for Wedge in like the X-Wing series books is based off Dennis Lawson. One other tidbit about Dennis Lawson is he was also approached to be in Force Awakens, but he declined. That actually makes me really sad. I would have loved to see Wedge.
Yeah, that's too bad. That would have been awesome just to see him kind of, even in the background or something.
Maybe he'll come back in episode 8. Like, that's one of the things I would hope he'd come back in episode 8 or something like that.
He was pretty cut and dry with the fact that he didn't want to come back.
Well, but, you know, here's the thing. It's like, I get, you know, what was it he say? I'm going to pull it up. What's the line that he said? Like, why he said he turned it down? He said he'd be bored or something like that?
Yeah.
So, you know, here's the thing. I get, like, if you haven't done this film series in, what, 30 years, right? You haven't done Star Wars in 30 years, and you're like, oh, you want to come back and do it? He's like, well, I'm just going to be a cameo. I'll be kind of bored doing this. But, I get that. Like, I can see him kind of turning it down, because we didn't know how Episode 7 was going to be, right? Like, we didn't know how big this is going to be. Well, now that it's been so big, do you think if they approached him again and he said, hey, do you want to just show up as a homage to your character because your fans still love you? You know, he was in one of the most recent books, you know, Aftermath and stuff like that. Do you think he would turn it down again?
Probably. I get the feeling that he just doesn't care. That's the thing. I just get the feeling that he's a bit like, it's a thing that I did. It was money in my pocket. It was all right. Like, that's the attitude I get from him in respect to Star Wars. So,
if anyone's listening, if anyone knows Ewan McGregor, guys, tell him to tell his uncle, Dennis Lawson, this is like real life, his uncle, Dennis Lawson, to show up in the next film. Ewan McGregor wants to be in another Star Wars film. He wants to be in another Obi-Wan film, and I'm all for that. Tell your uncle to show up as Wedge Antilles in Episode 8. Because, like, that's really cool that, you know, they're actually family, but, like, come on, like, I really want him to show up. Like, I love Wedge. I love Nine Nub. It's, come on, like, can we poke at him at all? Just, like, just do a cameo. Like, you don't have to die. You just be a cameo so we know you're still around, kicking, doing something. But, yeah. So, that's kind of the backstory of the actors of Wedge. But you know what's interesting about Wedge Antilles? He's the only pilot to have 2 Death Star kills.
Yep.
Yeah, Luke wasn't at the second Death Star. He was on the Death Star. He wasn't part of flying it. Lando wasn't there. He was there for the first. He wasn't there for the first one. He was there at the second one, leading that. The Falcon, the Millennium Falcon, did show up at both Death Stars, though. So, what do you guys think about that? You know, Wedge Antilles obviously in EU is this great pilot, and obviously he has to be a decent pilot because out of all the pilots that passed away, you know, Porkins, everyone else that died at the first Death Star battle, he's one of the people that survived, and he survived not just one but 2 of those massive assaults. So what do you guys think of him as a pilot?
And the Battle of Hoth.
Yeah,
right?
And the Battle of Hoth. He was everywhere. Yeah, sorry, I was taking a drink. Yeah, he was literally everywhere. Oh. He was at, you know, the Death Star, Battle of Hoth. He survived, you know, he was in, you know, he was just everywhere with him. So that's pretty awesome. What do you guys think of him as a pilot? You know, there is a couple things that we find out about Wedge in, in the visual dictionary. I think it's the, now I'm going to look for him. I'm not going to remember. I don't have the visual dictionary in front of me. There's the Skywalker roll or something. The Skywalker swoop is something that
the move that they named after him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they named a move after him. It's the Skywalker
they
swoop.
They did. It's a piloting move.
It's the Antilles something.
But yeah, I mean, he's a legendary pilot. He not only, like, survived those huge battles, but wasn't he one of the, on Battle of Hoth, wasn't it his snowspeeder that took down the AT-AT?
Yeah.
Or AT-AT is now official?
Yeah, it was him that was able to do it because of, it was Luke total because Luke's Dak had been shot, you know, so Luke couldn't do it, yeah. So it was him.
So he's the pilot responsible for that.
So I'm trying to find the name of it. I know it's part of the visual dictionary.
Was it just Antilles maneuver or something like that?
It was Antilles something, and it's going to kill me if I can't find it, and I don't want to run up and go get my book, but I can. No, not going to do that. Donna, do you know? It sounds like you're searching the internet.
No.
You just found Antilles maneuver in the Star Wars wiki.
Okay, maybe that's it. Antilles something. Anyway, Donna, why are you so quiet? Tell me about this quietness right.
I am not a huge fan of Wedge Antilles at all. He's probably one of the characters that I just kind of have no feelings about, other than just being like, eh, there are other characters that I wish had survived in his place, because I was more interested in them, like Biggs. I thought Biggs as a character was far more interesting in respect to how he connected back to Luke's life and the major story than Wedge, and also I kind of have a few issues with how he bailed out with the first Death Star trench run. Like, I get that his stabilizer was knocked out, but, you know, when he kind of pulls back, he could still go after Ties. Like, he didn't have to do the trench run. His stabilizer being out meant that he wasn't able to do that, but it didn't mean that he couldn't provide support from further back. Like, he just bailed out completely. So, yeah, I don't know.
But couldn't he have, you know, doubled back? If he had doubled back, then we would not have had Han Solo go, yee-hoo, you're all clear, kid. You know, let's blow this thing and go home. Like, if you had Wedge back there doing his thing, we wouldn't have had Han Solo be able to redeem himself from being, you know, the greedy guy who's all about money. You know, so think of it that way. Like, I agree. I've always wondered that, even as a kid, you know, he tells Wedge to get, you know, Luke tells Wedge to get out of there from the Death Star run. He's like, get out of here, Wedge, you can't do it anymore. He's like, sorry, and he pulls off. Like, okay. But where did he pull off to? Was he just like fighting, you know, fighters on his own, just dodging shots, you know, from turbo laser cannons? Like, where did he go? I never understood that. You know, they do talk about it. I will say they do talk about that more in the X-Wing series. Again, that's Legend though. But, you know, I would say it's a plot point. You know, him pulling out was a reason for Luke to lose his longtime friend Biggs and for Han Solo to come in and redeem himself. You can't blame him for being used as a plot point. Can you, Danya? Can you, Danya?
No, but everything is a plot point. That's how Star Wars works. Everything is a plot point. If we're going to judge one thing, we judge all things.
All right. So, yeah. All right. What about in the second Death Star? Does he at least redeem himself there with Lando and Nine-Nub destroying the second Death Star? They each had to take out, one of the tower things. Yeah, one of the towers,
it?
Right. You know, the what do you call it? The generators. Right? So, does he redeem himself by destroying those with him? He flew through the mass of the Death Star. You know, that was some pretty good flying there.
Yeah, he's just very much like a non-character for me. I'm like, I have no investment in him as a character at all.
Dennis, sorry. Don't listen to her. I want you to come back in episode 8. Don't listen to Danya. I want you to come back.
That's why he doesn't want to come back. Huh?
Because Danya's like, no. He's like a non-character. I don't care. All right. So, yeah, what about you? What do you think about this, Dano? You know, him flying to two different Death Stars. He's a pilot. You know, he's the only person
to survive
that.
I think he redeemed himself on Hoth. I really do think he redeemed himself. Taking down the AT-AT was huge. Using the tow cable, that was like, it was so smart. Like, I don't know. I've always liked Wedge. And Danya, you mentioned Biggs too, but the combination of the Biggs and Wedge, being a video game person, Final Fantasy, exactly. Like, those names are like legendary. They're in every single Final Fantasy. I feel like Wedge is a big character. But he's like the background character who's been everywhere and seen everything. But he's still kind of just a background character. But I hold him a little more dearly than you do, Danya.
Yeah, so, you know, so Wedge is this character who obviously was played by two actors. He survived the two Death Stars, but he does go on. You know, in canon, he does make an appearance in Star Wars Aftermath, which we didn't talk about as a recommended book, at least not to get into. There are some really good things about Aftermath. My personal opinion of the book is, it just didn't hold my attention as much. I am kind of excited to see how the sequel to Aftermath plays out. Hopefully, I feel
and that comes out really soon, doesn't it? That comes out in like a week or two.
Yeah, it comes out in a week or two. So that's Life Debt. So that should be interesting to see. But until that comes out, I don't want to talk about it too much. But in that one, Wedge is no longer an X-Wing pilot. He's now just an agent for the New Republic, which I guess, you know, maybe they pulled on Dennis Lawson's actual, feelings for the films to say, like, he's no longer this dashing pilot. You know, unlike in the extended universe, he was the Rogue Squadron leader, then Wraith Squadron leader. He was, Air Force type general, if you will, who just couldn't get out of the cockpit. So, but he's now an agent, and he's gained the rank of captain finally. So that's kind of just moving on up, which is interesting because didn't Luke Skywalker get the rank of captain by, Empire Strikes Back? Yes, no?
I believe so,
Was it Commander? Yeah. Maybe it was Commander Skywalker.
I think it's Commander Skywalker.
It might be Commander. See, I just don't know how ranks work. Not like in real military or in Star Wars military. Sorry, anyone who does know. Maybe you can tell me and educate me more. But
yeah, let us know. Tweet at me.
Tweet at our radio podcast and let us know how I'm so wrong, the difference between Commander and Captain, and there's probably like a whole bunch of ranks in between there that I just don't know. So, So he makes the rank of captain, and he is taken into So in Aftermath, he was captured, right, Danya?
Yes, yeah, he was.
You were just like not excited about him at all.
I'm sorry. It's like everyone has that one character that is just kind of like, eh.
Okay. Well, all right, then just help me get through this description of Aftermath so we can talk about it here, please. Just hold us a little bit. So in Aftermath, it's been a while since I've read it, so I may get some of this wrong, and I'm going to have Donnie check with me, but he is captured, and he's actually, rescued by Nora Wexley, is that right?
I'm pretty sure. It has been a while since I read Aftermath as well, and much like you, it wasn't my favorite book. I found it a bit of a struggle. We've talked about it before, but I'm pretty sure that's right.
Yeah, so, and isn't Nora Wexley also the mother of another known pilot from Snap?
Yeah.
Isn't that Snap's mother? Yeah. So, yeah, he's rescued. So, it's Aftermath, obviously, and him kind of, changing it. It does give us, introduction to other characters that we will see later on. Kind of like in, what was the comic book that had Poe's parents in it, Danya?
Shattered Empire.
Yeah, so Shattered Empire, great comic. Mm. If you're an introduction to Star Wars comics, Shattered Empire is one you should definitely pick up. But it's all about Poe's parents. So that's pretty cool to see them because they were part of the Endor attack and everything like that too. But yeah, so Nora Wexley, who was actually part of the second Death Star assault as an A-Wing pilot, if I remember correctly from the book, she is retired now, if you will, now that the Empire is kind of on the run, and Wedge Antilles gets captured. And so she is called back into duty to help save him with her son, which is pretty cool because her son is kind of reminds me almost like a young Anakin Skywalker building junk droids and just different things like that. So I enjoyed his character and her quite a bit. But yeah, so Wedge is kind of at this point where he's retired from the X-Wing pilot life, which is all we kind of knew him in the three films is this pilot. So it was good to see him kind of grow as a captain, if you will, and kind of a agent. He was on a reconnaissance mission. So I don't really know much more about that other than that was there.
Does this mean he's dead? Part of the New Republic, is he not dead
Interesting.
Now?
Oh, Danya, don't say things like that to me! No, he would have joined Princess Leia as part of the Resistance. Just like Admiral Ackbar did. Come on, he would not turn his back on Admiral Ackbar and Princess Leia. Like, he's been through all the thick and thin with him. No, he's not on Hosnian Prime. I do not want this to become, this is not going to become a headcanon until someone says this. I need to get out there and talk to Pablo Hidalgo right now. Let me tweet at him and say, like, hey, Wedge is not dead. He was not in Hosnian Prime, right? Question mark. Help me, please. Oh, man.
Tweet at him again, right?
Right? Question mark, please. Says that face. Wedge is still alive. Oh, man. Well, you know, was part of the New Republic in Aftermath. So maybe Wedge is on Hosnian Prime when the First Order decided to fire. Maybe he's like Corellia. Maybe he went back home. He's retired now. You know? Who knows? But yeah, but that's a very interesting thought, Danya. You really don't like it.
I know. You managed to kill Wedge.
You killed I Wedge did. In my head. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Well, you know, I really like this topic of Wedge and Tilly's just because he is a minor character. You know, Dano, you suggested Wedge. You know, we had this great conversation about, you know, Watto as a character who became kind of a father figure for Anakin. And Wedge is kind of like that guy, you know, a good old boy who was always hanging out there with Luke. Maybe didn't do as many heroic things like leaving before Biggs died. I'm sorry, Danya. But he did take out that AT-AT. You know,
you've got to give at least some credit to Wes Jensen as well.
Okay, yeah, I'll take what. Yeah, Wes is great. Yeah. And, but all right, so like, I'm going to pull out the EU on you. In the EU, Rogue Squadron books, in the X-Wing series, Wes took over Rogue Squadron when Wedge decided to start Wraith Squadron. Him and Wes were like, you know, captain and lieutenant, like they were right next to each other. Like Wes was his wingman. Like, I don't want to, you know, downplay Wes Jensen at all, but Wedge is the guy. He's the one who was there for both of them, both Death Stars. He had the two, you know, Death Stars painted on his X-Wing as kills, you know? That's the...
Well, I mean, I also disagree that he should have done that as well, because isn't the kill shot it should always go to whoever got that? And I mean, okay, he could use the second Death Star as a thing. I will give him that because he at least contributed more to that. But he bailed out so early on the first Death Star. It's a little bit disrespectful to be taking that marking and kind of being like, hey,
All right. So are those markings on those planes? And again, I haven't read the books in so long, but are the markings on the planes for the kill shot or are they for the battles that represent the battles they survive?
They should. Because for kill shots.
Well, to my knowledge, I feel like the Death Star paintings that they had were just for surviving that battle because they were so big. Like, and it doesn't count for like how many, you know, TIE fighters or anything like that you killed. It was more you survived a Death Star assault. Because like, think about video games for a second. Let's take a step back with Wedge and Tilly's. Like, if you played, you know, Rogue Squadron video game, or if you played, you know, the Battlefront game, which we're going to be having a Death Star Trench expansion soon. If you played Rebel Assault, you know, any of the Rebel Assault games, you know, all those, you're kind of at the point where you're like, okay, it always comes down to the Death Star Trench. Heck, even this old Star Wars arcade game, you know, the black and, you know, green line one.
Oh, yeah.
It was all Death Star Trench games, right? This is like iconic Star Wars, you know, trench games. And like, so if you just survived that Death Star assault, I feel like you earned this Death Star icon. Maybe not, like, maybe a little asterisk next to it, but like, I feel like you earned it, right? You're like, I didn't get the kill shot. That was Luke Skywalker, you know, the Jedi, the hero of the rebellion, but I was there. You know, and there's also that one Y-Wing fighter, but I don't think we've ever gotten the pilot's name for that.
No, I don't think we did.
But they didn't paint any Death Stars on the Falcon. And the Falcon survived the battle.
Yeah.
That's true. The Falcon is, and so did, you know, I don't know. The Falcon is tough because it wasn't like one pilot for it. You know, we had Han and Chewie for the first one, then we had Nineb and Lando for the second one, but the Falcon itself was there the whole time.
Yeah.
Ooh, maybe the, maybe the young Han Solo film is not going to be a Han Solo film, but actually a Millennium Falcon film. And you're going to see not only Han Solo, but someone else. Like Lando.
All right. That would be awesome.
Sorry.
It always comes back to Lando.
I'm sorry. Lando. Hello. What have we here? Yeah, sorry. I love Lando Calrissian, if you guys couldn't tell. Anyway, is there anything else about Wedge Antilles? Obviously, we want to see him alive. He was not on Hosnian Prime when the First Order destroyed it. Danya. You can't see this, but I'm staring at your picture on Skype right now going, no. But anyway, is there anything that we're missing, guys?
No, I think we kind of covered all of it.
All right. Well, until next week, everyone, thank you all for listening and hearing us ramble on about Wedge Antilles. And hopefully you guys can pick one of your favorite Star Wars books based on what we talked about and let us know what you think of it. But as always, my name is Mikey B.
I'm Danya.
I'm Dano.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio.
Bye. Bye-bye now.
Bye.